Good morning, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been meditating about discipleship, and as part of discipleship series, today we will be covering process of disciple making. Yes, so far, we have meditated about qualities of disciple, the gigantic word called disciple. Disciple qualities. Once again, I would like to recapture or just wanted to remind you what all those five. Disciples are nothing but who love others, as brother mentioned in the first message, like Jesus loved. And then who resides or abides in God's word. They will be meditating God's word every day, day and night. And then who themselves denying. Luke 9:23, it says, whoever desires to come after me, they have to deny themselves, take his cross or her cross and following him daily. That is denying themselves, taking the cross and following, and then bearing the fruit, bearing a much fruit that shows whether they're disciples or not. And then the trying disciples, they are like the master, the way how master look like. They are nothing but they look same like a master. So those are all the five qualities of disciples. And then last Sunday, what we meditated is from the Matthew 28 chapter 18, 19, 20, these three verses. The assurance, what our Lord Jesus has given the assurance is, I have the complete authority in heaven and on earth. Heaven means even in the second heavens where all these devils, evils live, even he had complete authority over them. Not only in the heaven, even on the earth, without his knowledge, since he is on the throne, nothing happens. So complete authority has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is assuring that I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always. Go to the world and preach the gospel and then make the disciples. He is giving the assurance that I am with you. I am the expert. While you are going to the field, I am there with you. And if any problem, right, since I have the authority, I can take care of you. That kind of assurance he is giving. And then one more reminder is assignment. So since he has given assignment, go to the world and then make disciples. That is assignment. And then today, Lord willing, we will be thoroughly checking the process of disciple making here. So week one, week two is covered. Week three is process of disciple making. And next week, Lord willing, power of disciple making. So here, before going to the vocabulary, I wanted to pray and then we'll go in the process of serving. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed worship time this morning, Father, to come to you and worship you wholeheartedly, Lord. Thank you for this series, Lord. Lord, you are the one who is helping us to understand all these things, Father. Lord, give us the heart to understanding each word of that single command, Great Commission, Father, to understand it and show obedience to you. Lord, give us the grace to God, show obedience to your great commission. I ask all these things in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before understanding the process of disciple making, the vocabulary will try to understand. So there are, first of all, great commission is nothing but it's a mandate. Marching orders given by our Lord, it's a mandate. You have to show obedience to it. As I mentioned, it's a single command, but it has two halves. So it's a single command. So it's very easy to show obedience to it. There are certain things that definitely will touch base. And then concept is nothing but Great Commission concept is nothing but turning people into disciples. So the keywords here in the vocabulary of disciple making, nothing but disciple. Now we know who is disciple. Discipler. Discipler also will touch base who is the disciple and what makes him to make disciples. And then disciple making and then disciplines. These four are some of the keywords. Whenever we go with the process of disciple making, we come across these four keywords. Disciple is nothing but, normally when we go to the field, we target one just for the soul, meaning just giving the gospel, and then we'll try to win that soul and bring him to the Christ. So it is not only the necessary and vital part in the Great Commission. The process stops there itself. Once we bring the soul to Christ, the process stops itself. It doesn't mean that completely we are winning that soul for Christ. Just half a done. So the second half also very, very important here. The ministry of very beginning, I wanted to, especially if you could refer to John chapter 6. So there in the very beginning, it says, great multitudes, they followed our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first verse of John 6th chapter. And then if you come to very last, it has come down completely. The great multitudes, they enjoyed the 5,000 people, their families, everybody, right? They enjoyed the, when our Lord, that is a miracle, feeding 5,000 people. Everything they saw, all the miracles and all, at the end of the John 7, 6th chapter, very few people, only 12 people, right? They show and then they started following. The rest, right, they dragged out. Here it says, even those people, right, Bible calls, beginning of the very earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, disciples, but they're not the full-fledged disciples. After they hear the hard sayings, many disciples, right, they went back. Those hard sayings, right, like taking the cross and following him, and then you have to eat my flesh. Those hard sayings, right, very hard to them, and they thought something else. That's why they stepped back. And then when Lord, our Lord, you know, he turned back to the 12 disciples, and they asked, do you people also want to go back like other people, the multitude? They said, no, Lord, we do not have anybody else apart from you. We have the words of life. Your words alone can give us the life. And especially the Simon Peter, who is very aggressive, right? He says that we do not want to go back like other people. And you are the Son of living God. So that is the thing. And we can see here the only 12 people. Of course, the later, right, one person also he went back. But the rest of the 11 people, so they are the true hardcore disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. But who are the disciples Bible called in the John 6th chapter? They are just appraisers. They just come, they reason, they validate whatever our Lord says and whatever our Lord did, all the miracles. They saw, they listened to him, everything they noticed. But the end, right, they all went back. They are just, right, to see the, to enjoy the situation and to validate the situation, they were there. They're just the casual listeners. Just they, for convenience sake, right, they hear, but there will not be any change in their lifestyle because they are not the followers. Just they listened, whatever he said, and then they went back. So just I wanted to call them as casual listeners here, or convinced listener. So there is one more group that is nothing but committed lifelong learner and follower of Jesus Christ. The original meaning of disciple is nothing but mathetes. Mathetes means adhesive. Like the tape, when you stick something to the adhesive tape, it is sticking there only. So this committed lifelong follower of Christ, what he does is, he always sits with the discipler or the master or the teacher. He always sits with him, adhesive to him in person, learning from him. So that is what he does. It's a lifelong process for him. One fine moment when he is matured enough, he will become discipler. I will explain one second what is disciple after completing the disciple part. A disciple is nothing but a person in lifelong training under the guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the school of Christ. So he will be learning from his mentors or from their masters. And then if you come back, if somebody come and ask our Lord Jesus Christ, how are we think of you? Or how shall we describe you in a better way? Definitely our Lord, he is what he would say, right? I am my father's apprentice. Our Lord Jesus Christ, why he was referring himself as apprentice. Apprentice is nothing but same thing. These are all synonymous words, adhesive, or the student, or the learner, followers. So he says, I am my father's apprentice. The reason why I wanted to tell that one is, one who learns his heart and practices his creed is very well. Our Lord Jesus knows the father heart. He did 100% whatever he intended our Lord Jesus to do. Since he did that, since he shown the obedience to the father's will, so that's why he is the apprentice. Whatever he asked him to do, that kind of the trade, the mission, he fulfilled within 33 and a half years. That is the expectation from our Lord Jesus Christ. So he knows the father's heart, whatever the things that is inside the father's heart, he knows and he executed and shown the result. So here, Isaiah 54 itself, 50th chapter, 4th verse, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples so that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. himself is telling Isaiah, it is a book, it is nothing but it's a miniature of Bible, where the Old Testament covers in the first 39 and the rest 27 is a New Testament about suffering servant or sin-bearing servant. So here it says he himself is telling, referring as disciples to Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. What he does every day when he was here on 2000 years back, always he listens. He spends most of the time with the prayer, the Mount Olive or wherever there, right? He spends most of his time and he listens as if there is some kind of earphone and hearing from the Father. Whatever the orders or commands that he gives, right? He himself, as I mentioned here, he did not do anything on his own. Whatever the Father he says, whatever he communicates, come back and do next day. So without his order, nothing he does. So it's nothing but the orders he has taken and he's executing. So it's nothing but apprentice. That's why he himself, if somebody goes and asks our Lord Jesus, he himself refers as apprentice to Father. The way how he was doing, he wanted everyone, all the 11 disciples are called disciples. The way how he is following and listening to Father, he wanted, he's expecting all these 12 people also like him. Takes a disciple to make disciples. Make disciples, disciple making, you must be a disciple. Then only you can go with the disciple making. Since he followed 100%, he has the quality or qualification to go with the disciple making. When he went to the Galilee, city of Galilee, and when he called, first, when he called Simon, Peter, Andrew, they followed him. They left the nets and then they followed him. And then you can see James and John, they followed him. So from the same Sea of Galilee. So next word, key word is discipler. A discipler, a disciple maker is a person who turns people into disciples. Nothing but discipler is nothing, or mentor is nothing but he's a matured disciple who has all the five qualities that I mentioned. I recited just now. So all the five qualities, who is like his master, he is called discipler, and they alone have the qualification or the capability or that kind of enablement to go for the disciple making. Also, same time, it's not one side, not one way of communication. He's the co-learner. So since he is not fully like his master, we will never become like our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we are in that process, we are also co-learner along with the disciples. We are teaching with them. We are meditating on the word of God. And same time, parallelly, simultaneously, we are also learning and improving ourselves and then growing in his likeness. So we are just co-learners, disciples and disciples. They are the co-learners. They are learning from each other, from one to another. I wanted to give some good examples, not now, but later in the next slides. Hopefully we can cover it. Discipling, nothing but, is a process of building men into disciples. Discipling is not the, it's not done by someone or some programs or institutions or churches. Is done by someone, not by something, not by programs. Someone has to involve in person and then they have to do the discipling. Discipling is one Christian person imparting the whole life to another by example, leadership and relationship. Take our Lord Jesus Christ only, they completely transparent to all these 12 disciples. Very beginning after the baptism in the River Jordan, John's disciples, John the Baptist disciples, they want John the Baptist himself, right? He tells, go and follow him because he is the Lamb of God. So, and then he asked when they are following, where you people are coming? Then they say, we wanted to spend with you. He was very transparent. He asked them to come and stay with us. Whole night they were there. So he was very transparent. And also, if you go and refer 1 John, first few verses, John writes like this: whatever we heard, whatever we saw, whatever we touched, everything, right, very transparent, that we are declaring, that we are proclaiming. So the John the Apostle, who has written the 1 John, first three chapters of 1 John letter, so he is telling whatever he observed in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of transparency must be there between the discipler and the disciple. So in this process, the Christian person or the discipler, he will be imparting all his life, whatever he is doing for the Christ, or even the professional thing, whatever he is doing, right, very much transparent. Nothing is hiding there because he is open book and something he has to learn from the disciples. That's why as long as they're open books, right, they can learn. So not only they can learn the leadership and also the relationship, how the discipler is maintaining with the Lord Jesus Christ, but also very, very important. Life transparency. Here, I just want to give an illustration between preaching and discipling, especially. Let's say there is a line here, and there are so many people here. So the preacher, if he is preaching right, many people, they will be their own world, or sometimes they'll be paying attention. So the whatever he speaks, right? So let's say he's having a bucket of water. When he's throwing in front of, let's say, 20 bottles are the milk bottles with a small cap. So when you open the cap and when you start throwing that water into those 20 small bottles, very rarely they will not get filled. Only little part, 1 inch or something, right? They will be filled. Whereas the same person, we are having the bucket of water, if he goes to the 20 each bottle and then fill, right, you can ensure that bottle is filled. It is nothing but discipleship. So the preaching, right, maybe it may not be, they may not be taking, but part of the disciple, he is spending time with the discipler. So he is ensuring that he is completely following all the commandments that our Lord has given to them, given all those things, right? He will be ensuring and training and everything, right? He can take care. So that is the difference between preaching and discipling. So discipling is very, very important for the new people who ever come to Christ. Lord Jesus, the way how he made out of them the expectation is to make others to be like that. So here I wanted to tell one more. The miracle is not feeding the 5,000 people or healing the sick people. The miracle is, here if you see all these 12 disciples, 12 people, they're with different backgrounds. One person, if you take Andrew, Simon Peter, James, John, they were fishermen. Whereas if you take Judas Iscariot, and then Simon the Zealot, and then if you take James, son of Alphaeus, these are all political, they are revolutionaries. They are completely with a different background. Whereas one more philosophical group is there. I put one list there, definitely I will explain that. They are the philosophical people like Bartholomew, Nathaniel, Philip. They're all the different. So bringing them out of nothing, fishermen, they're not educated. Completely out of nothing, he is constructing a qualitative disciple here. That's why I would say that is the greatest miracle. They're not qualified, but our Lord, he made them qualified. One more thing, discipling includes the entire disciple-making process, starting from the conversion, when they believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, from the initial stage to the fully trained disciple maker. That is a complete discipleship process. This is very, that is the heart of our God also, that is the heart of our Christ, and he expects his church, who purchased with the precious blood, he expects every believer to do that. Because one person who are going and doing this job, right, it's very difficult. Whereas each believer and each believer who is fully trained, if they go and do that, right, we'll be very, very quick, and we can reach most of the people in a very short span of time. First 200 years, the early church, they followed that methodology. That's why they could able to make a lot of disciples. And then one more important keyword is disciple, disciplines, not disciplines. Because discipline is very, very important. Bible always compare Christians with soldiers or athletes or the farmers, right? Because needs a lot of discipline also. Because I wanted to read Hudson Taylor's quote here. Man may be consecrated, dedicated, devoted, but of little value if he's undisciplined. That gives very bad signal, bad sign. You must be disciplined, and if any problems, right, since they are committed to the discipleship, they will be taking ultimately a kind of discipline, right? It transforms their character, transforms to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. One more part here is spiritual multiplication. So normally the plan here is multiplication. We have to build other visionaries or world impacting. Like how we are, we have to make the other person also. We have to see the person, masses behind the person. If we are speaking with one person, we have to see many people behind him. Because who knows, he may be going and doing a discipling with other people. So that's why we have to always visualize or think about that person, masses behind that person. So when he goes, he does the job, right, that will become spiritual multiplication. Here is one good example in Genesis 9:1. The mandate here from God is to multiply. It says you have to be fruitful, multiply, and then replenish the earth. That is the order, that is the mandate our Lord God has given to Adam and Eve. multiply they itself. They did the job perfectly. Okay. That's why there are so many millions of people here. So the last mandate, that is the very first commandment, first order. The last mandate here is evangelistic multiplication. So God expects go and make disciples. We have to do that kind of spiritual multiplications, adding the people to God's account. That whether we are doing it or not, that is up to us. But the expectation here is we have to go and do the disciple making process. Here one good example is Acts 2:41-47. The early church Christians, right, when they go and preach the gospel, Lord added with who are being saved day by day, right? The number is increasing because of those four activities, apostles, doctrine, fellowship, and then breaking of bread and prayers. The number, it started increasing day by day. And both Acts 2:41 and Acts 5:14 words. Acts 6:1, if you come right, the number of disciples was multiplying. Acts 6:7, the number of disciples multiplied greatly. The church was growing in exponentially, very rapidly increasing. Whereas if you come to 9:31, churches were multiplied, not only in the Jerusalem area, complete the region, Judea, Galilee, Samaria, completely the good news just spreaded and the disciples started multiplying. So that is the thing, what early church Christians they did. I have one question here. If Paul was here and if he start interacting with anybody, right, anybody you take, whether there is Philemon or is a King Agrippa, if somebody talks with Paul, he will ensure he will become Christian. Example, King Agrippa says, Paul, you are trying to make me Christian by saying all these things. Such kind of influencing words, not because of him, but the power behind or inside him. Because of that one, right, he is able to convert every person into Christian. So you take Onesimus, when he met him in a jail, right, was with a different. He was a fugitive, runaway slave. He stole something from Philemon and then he came. After he met, right, we know how a useless person God converted. Paul, God used Paul to convert him as useful person. So that is the thing. So when he sees, right, Paul sees, he will make sure they are converting into Christianity. That kind of influence he does. However, here we can see how the church was multiplied with the disciples. So I wanted to, what our Lord Jesus followed here, because he was in the process of disciple making. This picture, I got it from internet. This is nothing but, this is just a person who we have freshly believed, this born again believer. When we born again, right, still we carry the flesh. Flesh is nothing but, just this is the flesh. If we just go backward, remove the hedge, self from the bag, self. Nothing but though he's born again, still he still right, he will be the selfishness. There itself. Selfishness means here. I highlighted the red color, sin. Everything right, he trusts himself. Still he believes in himself. So self-trusting is nothing but life of loss here. So the expectation is when you believe in Christ, your trust has to transfer. So not only that, he takes everything into him. It's like a sponge, all the resources he wants to consume, and he wanted to be on the safe side, just for the survival sake. This is called outside in. Everything he observes and keep himself, and he trusts himself, and he wanted to be good, he wanted to be safe. So that is kind of personality, that is one kind of lifestyle, outside in. There is one more, what our Lord Jesus has shown, inside out. So when you believe in Christ, what happens here is completely he started trusting the Lord, not self-trusting. It is trusting the Lord. Whatever he says, he listens and does it. So not only that, he gives everything. He is no more self-dependent person, self-forgettable. He is thinking about himself, self-giving and also self-disinterested lifestyle. Everything, right, because he depended on God, also have the communion, fellowship with the God. So whatever he orders, he takes. This is how exactly our Lord lived and shown. Also asking the 11 disciples, 12 disciples to do the same thing, inside out lifestyle. Since they saw him, now they have the courage because he proven already for Lord Jesus. So that's why all the 11 disciples, when God asked them to go to the world, they left everything, all their families, and we know Thomas, how he came to India. Left everything, and he doesn't know the Malayalam language or Tamil language. He learned, he interacted. that he brought so many people. And here means because of how much he visited, because of God's grace I'm here. So that's that kind of lifestyle they implemented, they learned from the disciple, our Lord Jesus, from the Lord Jesus Christ they learned. So Lord Jesus, he says, we know he himself gave everything for us to redeem us. There is one verse, beautiful verse, Matthew 16:25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. The first picture we saw, they wanted to save their life. They wanted to be in a safe zone, comfort zone, with everything. So whoever does that, they will be losing it. But whoever loses their life for Christ's sake, they will find it. They will have the eternal life. So this is the life what God expects. All the disciples must have this kind of inside-out lifestyle, thinking about others, not self. Yes, we are in a safe zone. When we believe in Christ, we have all the spiritual blessings. We started to think about others. So when we think about others, right, this kind of inside-out lifestyle will come. This is what our Lord Jesus taught to all 11 disciples. It is a beautiful, this is my observation completely, the strategy what our Lord Jesus, he followed to make them disciples. This is from the three gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Acts. This is, because the reason why I mentioned all these 12 disciples' name, only in the three gospel accounts and in the Acts, they mentioned on chronological order. So if you see here in the Matthew account, Simon called Peter, Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, John. And then here, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. This is one group. There are four small groups here under the, maybe he made assigned leader here, small leader. Simon, under him, Andrew, his own brother, James and John, they are the sons of Zebedee, both John and James. They are like-minded people. Also, they are the disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew, James. They followed with the instruction of John the Baptist. Not only that, yet Simon, we know, Peter is very aggressive. His mentality, based upon their nature, their character, right? That's why God put these four people in one group. Andrew, we think that he may be calm and mild. No, he's also very aggressive. The name, what Bible says about James and John, right? They are the sons of the thunder. Very aggressive. Based upon their mentality, nature, character, right? God put them in one group. But they can mingle very well. And then another group, this is a philosophical group. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. These are all philosophical. They ask a lot of questions. Why, what, where, all these WH questions. We see Thomas, right? When Lord resurrected, he asked a lot of questions, really, whether he resurrected or not. I want to put my fingers into his wounds. That kind of nature. The same person has been sent to India because of his nature. Philosophical person, very difficult to convince them. But God convinced them, and these are all one group, these four, under the leadership of Philip here. This is just my observation. And then James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddai, and then Simon the Zealot, Judas. These are all political revolutionaries. They all worked under James. He's the small leader here. So because of their mentality, God has put them, and then he's shown the inside-out life to them because they saw him. They were with him 3.5 years. They know what our Lord Jesus is doing. They learned from him. And then this is a small strategy what our Lord followed by keeping small groups. So they did their job perfectly, all the 11 disciples. And then New Testament methods for making disciples, just the four things: personal contacts, strategic personal contacts, strategic personal communion, personal companions by proxies, correspondence by pen. I wanted to just touch base very high level about personal contacts in person, how we can make personal disciple making here in a sense, meeting one-on-one, or one person who is the discipler meeting with the group of people, and then making the visionary or committed disciples here. Yeah. So we studied about 1 Thessalonians this morning, how Thessalonians, they heard the gospel from Paul, and then how they were completely, there's a beautiful church, they followed, they are really committed, and when they turned from the idols and they started following our Lord Jesus Christ, not only they themselves, they reached out to the local surrounding areas of Macedonia, Achaia, and then they given the gospel there. How it is possible means when Paul visited Thessalonica church, in person he went there, very beginning. So personal touch is very, very important here. When you interact, not through Zoom or digital classes, when you interact with them, right, you will come to know and you can start the conversation. That conversation establish the relationship. So based on that, right, we can train them. So that's why it could be one-on-one or one with a group. For example, how Paul interacted with the Thessalonians 3:10, he says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see you face, see your face. He was very eagerly waiting to see them face to face, but there was hindrance and he could not do that. So the contact model, what followed, right? Most of the models followed in the New Testament is the most utilized one, contact model, going and in person meeting them and then telling about all the things what our Lord Jesus taught us. Jesus also used this model. Mark 3:14, it says, he appointed 12 and then they should be with him. So they are with him always, day and night, 3.5 years. They learned from him. Not only our Lord Jesus, even Paul used the same methodology, same model. Timothy and others, they spent, Timothy and all, they spent with Paul. Even Luke, Dr. Luke, he spent time with Paul. Peter also used the same model with John, Mark and others. Barnabas used the same model with Paul. Barnabas was the disciple to Paul, and Paul is the disciple to Barnabas, very beginning. And then Timothy also used the same methodology, transmitting process to the faithful men. The pattern, Lord willing, next week we will see here. You know, not only Timothy, Aquila, Priscilla, they also modeled and discipled Apollos here. This in-person contact, Lord willing, will take and will just a little bit, right, will go inside how it is very effective. Because other methods, right, they may not be that much, they show the impact, but this in-person or contact model shows very much impact. I could not complete this one, but still there are three methods. Lord willing, will take it. Next week, it is about power of disciple making along with these patterns of disciple making. Let's have a word of prayer before we depart. Holy Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to learn from you. Thank you for explaining all these things to us, Father. Lord.